I'll start reading at Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Verse 18, for I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not sufferings, are not to be, I want to do it again. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. Lord have mercy. Isn't this wonderful? Okay, let me deal with this and let's see what we can hear what the Lord has to say today. We're teaching on manifesting the sons of God, and this is a lesson on vengeance and recompense, volume 2, part 27. It sounds like an IRS form, doesn't it? Okay, now, we have come some ways, and what I'm doing now is doing just some little touch-up work to make sure that we understand the principle behind what I'm teaching here, and nobody goes out and says and does the wrong thing because of it, because they've got the wrong idea. So now we want to cover a couple of points that I think are significant. The church is in its finest hour. And we are in a season where the church has been prophetically packaged to lead the world. And we are the solution bearers for the world. And the purpose of the church is now to transform the world and prepare for Jesus' second coming and to raise up a kingdom culture all over the world. Everything that's contrary to the rule and the laws and the justice of heaven is to be brought under subjection. If any nation is suffering today, it's suffering because the church has yet to subdue it with kingdom principles. And the kingdom principles involve the love, the integrity, honesty, peace, joy, all these things that make up the government of God. And the Bible says over in Romans that the kingdom of God is not in meat and drink, but in righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. And the Bible says over in Corinthians that the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Jesus keeps teaching about the kingdom and what the kingdom is like. So as we go through here, we have been learning some things about the kingdom. Now, he says this, that the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God, that the whole earth is groaning. Now, why is the earth groaning? The earth is groaning because it's reeling under this sin and under the curse that came as a result of Adam's transgression. This earth was never made for that. So it's reeling under this thing. And death and all the things that are going on and so forth. Now, God placed Adam in the garden. And the garden was a spot in the earth that through the blessing, perpetual renewal and supply, Adam was going to be able to manifest the garden all over the earth. That the garden had the atmosphere of heaven. And so now the garden was not the best that was going to be in the earth. It was a starting place. And as a matter of fact, it's probably the hardest place that man was going to live, that he would be getting better and better. Just like you build a house. You have a contractor and it's his first house that he ever builds or she ever built. Well, if they build the 50 houses after that, each time it's going to get better and better. So God created his man to release the blessing. And the blessing will make inanimate objects multiply. The blessing will make corn grow when there's no rain. The blessing. And so in this idea about the blessing, the blessing is much more powerful even on this hour than it was on Adam. Because everything is being restored, and God's restoration doesn't bring things back up to where they were before. God restores something better than it was before. He restored to Job twice what he had. So as we look at this, the kingdom message is the most important message to the human race today. And that as we are looking at that, the kingdom of God is so powerful. It includes not only the church. The church are called out ones. The building is not a church. You are the church. It includes angels. It includes the terra firma of the earth. It includes the entire earth. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, and they that dwell therein. The earth doesn't belong to the devil. So one of the reasons why Jesus came is to get this property back into the hands of its rightful ownership. And so now, as this has happened, Jesus has done his part. We have to reclaim what he's redeemed. And so now, as Jesus left, the Holy Spirit started his ministry. The ministry of Christ has been duly and completely handed over to the ministry of the Holy Ghost. And the number one job of the Holy Spirit is to execute vengeance upon all the enemies of God's people, and nothing shall escape him. And now we have to define what vengeance is, because if you don't define it, people will run out of here and start thinking that vengeance is something that it's not. Let's go over to Hebrews, please, in Hebrews in chapter 10. Book of Hebrews in chapter 10. Over in Hebrews chapter 10, it says in verse 30, "For we know him that has said, vengeance belongeth to me, and I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people." Now this whole vengeance, what is vengeance? We said, it is not hatred or some kind of emotional retaliation, or I'm going to get you at 3:00. Now I'm not talking about you. I'm just talking about this is the way people talk. But it's something that proceeds from the love of God and is a necessity for punishing offenders. It's talking about justice. It's justice that proceeds from the love of God. And also recompense, what is it? It's having to do with compensation, having to do with paying somebody back for something that was suffered or lost. It has to do with the word is to repay or pay damages for something. So this is key. Vengeance belongeth to me, saith the Lord, and I will recompense. Now that's important, because it didn't say it belonged to you. It said it belongs to him. Say amen to that. Now, what we did is we start talking about this, and we said that our primary assignment in this earth is to advance the kingdom. Now, it's interesting about advancing this kingdom, because the enemy, of course, is out to stop us. And that we, every place we go, we are to establish God's justice. We are to establish the kingdom or the government of God and God's system. Now, as we do this, we'll find that the justice system of the world is one of the main targets of demonic abuse. And that we said, God is a just God, and that justice is vital to kingdom manifestation. Hallelujah! Is vital to kingdom manifestation. So, as we move forward, we're seeing an example of what is happening. And one of the people that we used to give you an example was Moses. Now, Moses went down to Egypt, and he was, as a matter of fact, he was born there, and he was raised in Pharaoh's court. But after he got so old, older, then something rose up inside of him, which was his calling. Nobody is born in the earth without a calling. Rose up inside of him, and he saw an Egyptian beating a Hebrew, and he slayed the Egyptian. Now notice, revenge, flesh. Got it? So now Pharaoh heard about it, because I guess you had, you know, one of the house Hebrews that told. And as a result of that, Pharaoh said he's going to kill it. So what did he do then? He put out a warrant or something to kill him, and Moses fled, went to the backside of the mountain, stayed over there 40 years. But now God is telling Moses, this is your calling to go back and get Israel set free. Why? Because there's a prophetic timetable that's got to be met. And I'm telling you, we're still on the prophetic timetable. That's why you have come into the kingdom for such a time as this. So now what is happening? He goes and he says, well, wait a minute. Who shall I say that sent me? And what did God say? I am. Tudor Bismarck came over here and preached that. I am. Praise God. Okay. Now, so Moses got to understand this now. So he begins to demonstrate to Moses this thing that he can do for Moses to give Moses a sense of security and to change his thinking about vengeance or recompense or whatever he's going to have Moses to do, because this is an unjust system that the children of Israel are serving under. So then he does these things with Moses. He has his hand to come up leprous and in his hand to, of course, be healed. He had a rod to turn into a snake and then turn back into a rod. Then he said, I want you to go down there and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. Well, Moses went then. So what we said is understanding vengeance and recompense significantly, it creates a significant change in your attitude and your behavior. Because now he's got to go back to the most powerful ruler probably in the world at that time, and he's got to point his finger in his face and tell him to let my people go. Now, you got to know something to do this. Because Pharaoh could just wink his eye and they'll come and cut your head off. I mean, that's all he needs. But notice they can't touch Moses because he's been sent. And when you've been sent, you are divinely positioned. And nothing can touch you. Say amen to this. All right, now this, all of this, you got to get a hold of. Because what we told you, basically, is that the enemy cannot touch you anymore, that you are under this new anointing. And you cannot any longer be harassed, or you cannot any longer, now you just hear what I'm saying now, that this new anointing that you're under covers every kind of attack and accidents. So I suspended death in your life. Not speaking on my own, but on the fact that now you're under this new latter-day reign. And this is covering you, and God is sending you and making you impervious. Y'all remember that word, a big word I used there? cannot be penetrated or passed through or incapable of being injured or impaired. You are incapable from this day forward of being injured or impaired. Boy, that's a blessing right there. Now, all of this you got to know because it takes faith so you can walk in it. Say amen to this. All right, so Moses goes down there and God tells him, said, now you tell Pharaoh, I said, let my people go, because if you don't let my people go, I won't let his people go. Well, you saw what God said. And God said, hey, that he said, let my son go. Well, let's go over there. Well, no. I got to finish this. So what has happened? Moses goes down there. Of course, he tells Pharaoh to let him go. Of course, Pharaoh doesn't want to let him go and so forth. Now, Moses then, Moses begins to negotiate with Pharaoh. And, Pharaoh tries to negotiate with Moses, but Moses refused to do it, refused to compromise and to get the people out, because he wanted them to go out and leave the kids and then wanted them to go out and leave the livestock and so forth. But Moses each time said no. All right. Now, as he let them out, Pharaoh went after him. And what happened to Pharaoh? Pharaoh got swallowed up. Am I right about it? All right, but I showed you something here because this is very important that I show you this stuff. Let's go over to Ezekiel in Ezekiel chapter 33. Ezekiel chapter 33. Let me know when you get there. Are you there? Look at verse 11. Say unto them, as I live, saith the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the what? Death of the wicked. Well, he had no pleasure in killing folk, because God is a good God, but he's a God of justice. Are you with me? So now here is Moses, and he leads these people out. And as he leads them out now into the wilderness and so forth, now God, of course, is working with them, and they're still in unbelief, and he's showing them things and feeding them, and the blessing is working. Now, you see the blessing there in the Old Testament fed 3 million people every day. So now, as we look at this, we see here how God protects, how he provides, and how he uses his church to pull down systems that have been enslaving people. Got it? All right, now we covered a lot of this. We've been covering this for weeks, so I cannot talk about all of this. But one of the things, two things I want to point out today. Let's go back to Isaiah. In Isaiah chapter 61 again. Hello. You with me? All right. Isaiah chapter 61 said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Look at me. What happened there? Jesus closed the book. Right there. Didn't go any further. Why? Because that was his ministry. But once he left, the Holy Ghost took over. Now we finish the rest of it. You got what I'm saying? All right. And look what it says here, the rest of it. It says, the day of vengeance of our God, and to comfort, or so as to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, oil of joy for mourning, garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build. Now notice, Jesus didn't build. He didn't build one orphanage, one school. He didn't build so forth. He didn't one business. He didn't have to do that, because that wasn't his assignment. That wasn't his assignment. All this is taken up by the Holy Ghost. So notice what he's doing now. He's putting God back in everything. Because God has been taken out of business. God had been taken out of media. God had been taken out of the family. God had been taken out of schools. God had been taken out of arts and entertainment, so forth. What is he doing? He's putting it back in there now. Putting it back in there. Why? He's raising up people who have a godly influence. Come on now. He's going to take business back. Isn't that wonderful? Okay. Now let's go on down to repair waste cities and desolations of many generations. Verse 7, for your shame you shall have double. Verse 8, for I the Lord love judgment and I hate what? Robbery for burnt offering, and I will direct their work in truth, and I will make an everlasting covenant with them, and their seed shall be known of the Gentiles among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people, and all that see them shall acknowledge them that they are the seed that the Lord has done what? He's blessed. All right? So everybody going to see you're blessed. Now, as we do this, you're up against another system because you're colliding with two different systems here, and you're invading with the kingdom of God. The violent take it how? By force. Now, that doesn't mean you stick somebody up or something with a gun. It means that you use your force of faith. You follow what I'm saying? And you take things back in the spirit, because this thing is not just natural. There's a spiritual component to it, and a spiritual dimension has to be dealt with if you really want to change things in the earth. Are you following what I'm saying? All right. And Paul knew that because he said, we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood, but against principalities. So, now, going up against those systems, we saw examples. And one of the examples we saw was Daniel. And Daniel, the three Hebrews, were to bow down when they heard the music playing to this statue. But they didn't bow. Why? Because their constitution said that thou shalt not bow thyself down to any other god. So when the laws unjust of this world conflict with the laws of the kingdom and citizenship that you come from, then you can obey the laws that you come from with no fear that the people in the level that the laws are made can hurt you. Now this is very important now, because remember, the justice system of the earth is one of the main targets of demonic abuse. So the enemy is going to come into that. Why? Because he can make laws to make masses of people do evil things. Got it? Now I'm just letting you know this, because now all of a sudden, I don't need a bribe. Don't need one. Why? Why do I need one? I got the blessing on my life. Why do I need one? Because I'm in the ear of God's favor. And God's favor will make people give you things that hate you because of the favor of God. Are you following what I'm saying now? Now, understand, now I've got to deal on another level with another system. Remember what I showed you, John chapter 17, and verse 14. Can you put it up there, please? John chapter 17 and verse 14. Here's what it says. I have given them thy word, and the world has hated them. This is Jesus talking. Because they are not what? Of the world. Come on. Even as I am what? Not of the world. Next verse. I pray not that you take them out of the world. Don't take them out of the world. But I pray that you could keep them from the what? Evil. Next verse, please. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So what he is saying here is, the boundaries of the world are not your boundaries. You got what I'm saying? I'm saying you now are somebody completely new, that you are not marked by the world's limitations. Folks, you wait till I talk about seeing the future. You got something in you that can see where you're going before you even get there. The problem with it is it hasn't been developed because we've been told that we didn't have that. But now you got a different teacher. He's the Holy Ghost. And he's going to teach you all things. So anyway, here is a situation. Now notice what they did. They made a law. All right, let's go to Isaiah 33, please. They made a law and said, you got to bow when you hear this. And you have to bow down to this statue. Okay. How we doing? We doing okay? All right. Daniel. Oh, no, I said Isaiah, didn't I? All right, okay. Isaiah chapter 33. All right, look what it says here in verse 22. For the Lord is our judge. For the Lord, keep going, is our lawgiver. Keep going. For the Lord, keep going, is our king. Keep going now. And he will what? You look at that word save, it means give us victory. So the Lord is our judge. So that means in the United States, this is where the three branches of government were taken from when they set up the government of the United States. They set up the judge or the Supreme Court. They set up the Congress or the lawgivers. And they set up the executive branch of government or the White House or the president, which is the king. And all three of those work together. Say amen to that. But however, if you don't feel like you're being treated justly with the judges, the lawgivers, or the White House, you got a higher court. You can go up to the Supreme Court of the universe. Now turn with me over to Genesis chapter 18, please. Genesis chapter 18. Now I'm showing you this because you need this, because this is not for America. This is for the whole world, because God is the judge of the whole world. Look what it says in Genesis. In Genesis chapter 18, praise God. Hey man, you can go ahead and put it on the board. You should have them down right now. I didn't talk about them all three services. Yeah. You don't know what scripture, it might be somebody new. Okay, let's go to verse 25. Boy, make it hard on you, brother. You got to have some patience up here. Okay, verse 25. Be it far from thee to do after this manner, to slay the righteous with the wicked, and that the righteous should be as the wicked. That be far from thee. Shall not the judge of all the earth do right? Now, who is this talking? Abraham. It's Abraham talking. So wait a minute. You're going to destroy Sodom out there. Now, wait a minute. Let's talk a minute. Because will not the judge of all the earth do right? You can't destroy it with Lot sitting up in there. Got what I'm saying? And that is a fact. Won't destroy the righteous with the wicked. So my point to you is, here he calls him judge of all the earth. He calls him the judge of all the earth. I'm just saying he's appealing to a higher court. The judges maybe over there in Sodom are crooked. The judges or the lawgivers maybe in Sodom are making unjust laws. And I'm just saying the same thing has been happening, because not to blame the people, because Psalm 82 says they walk in darkness, all the foundations of the earth are out of course. It says they don't know what they're doing. Jesus said, Father, forgive them, because they don't even know what they're doing. They're being led around by a hook in their nose by the devil. Are you following what I'm saying? My point to you is, but now the people of God come in and we can see the truth. Because you shall know the truth, and the spirit of truth is the Holy Ghost. So he's going to tell you what the real deal is. Say amen to this. Now, once you know that and so forth, and faith comes up in you, God begins to use you to deal with the very system they're in. So what did they do? They made a law that everybody's got to bow down. Now, I know who they were after. They were after these three Hebrews. They were after, somebody caught wind that them three Hebrews thought they were somebody different. And so they were going to prove to them that, wait a minute, we still got control over you. So they made a law for them to bow, but they made the law the Hebrews didn't bow, and then they threw them in the furnace thinking that the furnace was going to take them out. But the number one job of the Holy Ghost is to execute vengeance upon all the enemies of God's people, and nothing shall escape him, and he is to protect you in every situation that you go in, and I cancel accidents in the name of Jesus. Hey! Now the next one, of course, was Daniel. They were after him because Daniel now was being raised up. He had an excellent spirit in Daniel chapter 6. Now he was about to take over. But what did they do? They made a law. They said, let's make a law against his God. And they made a law that nobody could pray to any other God except to the king for the next 30 days. What did Daniel do? He goes up into his room, wasn't trying to hide behind the chair. He opens the door. Jehovah. Notice they took him and they threw him where? In the lion's den. Did the lions eat him? No, because God is the judge over the whole earth. He can shut the lion's mouth when he wants to and then open it back up when it's time. And what happened? The king came down and to see, because he couldn't sleep that night. When they mess with you, they can't sleep. Now, you're not doing anything to them. It's just that they got no business touching my anointing. And notice what happened. The king rose early in the morning and went and said, oh, Daniel, did thy God save thee? Daniel said, long live the king. Notice what Daniel say. Oh, man, I can't stand you. He didn't say that. Why? Because it's not based on hate. It's not based on revenge. It's not based on, I'm going to get you at 3 o'clock. It's based on love. Long live the king. Glory to God. We ain't hating on nobody. And notice what they did. All the people that plotted to get Daniel thrown in there, what happened to them? Every one of them, along with their families, along with their dogs and cats, along with everybody, got thrown in that same pit. So when they set a trap for you, I got good news for you. They're gonna be falling into it themselves. From now on, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. In the name of Jesus. What am I saying? I'm saying vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will recompense. Everything that's owed you, I'm going to make them compensate you. Every time. Because I have kept detailed records. Every time you've been humiliated, anybody in your family has been molested, anytime they've been, come on, harassed, embarrassed, or whatever, all of that is compensated. Are you with me? Now, I won't go through it. Genesis chapter 20. I won't go through that because you've seen that. You've seen where Abimelech took Sarah into his palace, and that night, God spoke to Abimelech, King Abimelech, in a dream, and he said, what? You are but a dead man. You have got another man's wife in your house. Boy, that's a hard deal, isn't it? Man, you got to get out of there that night. That night. You can't wait till the next morning. You got to get out that night. Girl, get up and get out of here. Okay, but anyway, hallelujah. Okay, so what did it say at the end? He said, I'm compensating you. So he gave Abraham gold and silver and so forth. And he said, for damages, for I have done what I have done to you. So notice what he did. He humiliated him. He caused him embarrassment. And because they caused you embarrassment, that even has to be paid for. That has to be paid for. Now, he said something. I love justice, but I hate robbery. See, I hate robbery. Now, what is robbery? Stealing. Robbery is, it's stealing. Amen. Yeah, who said that? Okay, all right. Well, bless you. That's a blessing. She just got a blessing on it. But because they're stealing, see. And people been stealing. And I just came from India. They were stealing. One man had lost his property. Well, what happened? How did he lose it? Some people who were wicked created a phony land title deed. Watch this. Went down to the justice and the judges or whoever and got an eviction notice. Came back out to the land after 4 o'clock on Fridays so that everything will be closed for a couple of days and evicted the man's family off their land. He was 3 years getting his land back with lawyers. Now, understand, look at all that he had to go through because of a wicked system. You got what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Now, they were stealing. But if you have something and you want to get it back and you get a gun and go out there and tell somebody, give me my stuff back, you're stealing too. Because it didn't come through God. Didn't come through God. And he hates robbery.
Come on now.
You got what I'm saying?
Talk about it.
Amen. Remember, you got to stay in love. And to stay in love means you got to stay in God. And God said, he that has my commandments and keepeth them, that's who loves me. So the only way Moses could go down there and do anything is that God had to be with him.
Yes, right.
Are you following me?
Yes.
And you look how Moses talked down there. He didn't say, God said, let my people go. He said, I say, let my people go. He was talking directly as the first person singular. He was talking for God. Are you following what I'm saying? So now let's go to James, and James chapter 5, we'll finish up right there. We got 1 minute and 13 seconds. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. I see little sister there asleep. That's all right. Don't wake her. Don't wake her. She's really immersed in my message. She's meditating on it. She's trying to get the most out of it. Praise the Lord. Okay, that's all right. I would put the camera on her, but that's all right. I'm not going to do that. No, I'm not going to do that. All right. Now, where did I tell you to turn? James, when she goes home, just tell her I talked about it. Tell her I talked about it. Which is, praise the Lord. Oh, amen. She woke up. Okay. I didn't mean to wake her up. That's all right. Now, can I show you one more thing first? Turn to James 5. But if you will, just come back with me. Two things I want to show you, because I'm like I said, I'm just doing touch up now. I've just got 0 minutes on the clock. So can I have about 3 more minutes of your time? All right. Now, let's praise the Lord. Let's look at something. Look at Joshua chapter 10. Now, I wanted to show you this because what he didn't get Moses to do is get a battery of lawyers to go down there. And if you go over, and sometime when you have a chance, over in Luke chapter 18, the woman said, "Avenge me of my adversary." And if you look at it in NIV, it says, "Give me justice." So this woman was being treated unjustly. Why? Because the Bible says it was an unjust judge. Got it? There are unjust judges, folks. They're being used by the enemy. Don't get mad at people. Holy Ghost is going to take care of it. You just stay in love. All you can say is, you shouldn't have done that. All right? Now, this is Joshua. He's now, what the situation is that Joshua is taking one city after another. But these Gibeonites came to him. And the Gibeonites came to him deceiving him, saying that they had been, now wait a minute, there are honest judges, there are honest lawyers, and there are honest politicians, and so forth. So everybody not crooked, all right? Hello. Woo-hoo. Okay. The Gibeonites, the system is broke. That's what I'm trying to get you to do. So the Gibeonites came and saw Joshua having all these victories. So they started to get a plan to deceive Joshua. Now, Gibeonites, if you look at the history of the Gibeonites, they come from the Hivites. The Hivites, each one of those ites is a strong man. You know that, right? Okay, the Hivites, the Jebusites, the Perizzites, and so forth. But the Hivites are spirits of deception. Okay? Now, understand, the world can't catch these spirits. They can't stop them. Amen. They have no clue of what's going on. That's right. They'll be deceived just like that. And that's when the Bible says in Revelation chapter 12, verse 9, Satan has deceived the whole world. Because they can't catch those spirits. They're witchcraft. That's what this economy is. It's demonic driven. It's voodoo. Yes, that's right. And so in that, they came to Joshua and they had bread with mold on it. They had the shoes with holes in them. And say, "We came from a long ways." When all the time they came right down there on 43rd Street. "We came from a long ways."
Right.
So now they accepted them and made a treaty with them.
Right.
Which they were not supposed to do. But they were deceived. And 3 days later, the revelation hit Joshua. These are the enemy.
That's right.
Well, now the enemy's got problems. And the enemy is being attacked by another group. And so they call on Joshua to come help them. Well, he's got to do it because he's in league with them now. And I'm saying somebody try to hook on with your business who shouldn't hook on with it. And draw you into a fight that is not even yours. Are you with me now? All this is in the Bible, man. The devil had no new tricks. So you got to pray about every union. All right. So what happens? Then Joshua asked God to go fight. He said, "Yes, go fight." And then Joshua went and fought and was getting a victory, but the sun was going down and he wasn't finished with the victory yet. So what happened was it says here in verse 11. Now this is when he told the sun to stand still, but look at verse 11. "And it came to pass as they fled from before Israel and were in the going down of Bethoron, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them until Azekah, and they died. They were more which died with hailstones than whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. Wow. So God can supernaturally help you win any battle that you're in. And it's almost like God said, stand back, boys. Let me get a little piece of this. Now, I'm only saying that because sometimes you gotta listen for God, because he's gonna tell you how to treat a certain situation. And sometimes the treatment of it is not to run out and get a lawyer. Got it? Because God has another way that you're gonna solve that problem. Are you following what I'm saying? Now, if you go, where did I have you going now? Oh, no, I want you to go to Ezekiel chapter 28. I'm almost done. Ezekiel chapter 28. Please, no one else go to sleep. I'm almost done. Because when you go to sleep, I might whisper to one of these angels. Angels, wake them up. Give them a dream. Okay, and look what it says here in Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 15. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till what was found in you? Iniquity. Now, the only way Babylon can function and is to keep God out. Because the moment he lets God in, then his system will begin to deteriorate. The devil is the architect of the world system. Ungodly, deceived, fearful people are being used to run it. Now, the only way it can operate is that it keeps sin and iniquity in it. That it's got to keep them things alive. If it doesn't keep those things alive, it'll come over to righteousness. All right, I'm not gonna turn to James. James chapter 5. Are you with me? Now, I'm going to read this out of my Bible. I tell you what, maybe put it on the board, because my Bible, I have got this thing so marked up, and I need another right there. Go to now, you rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are what? Corrupted. And your garments are what? Moth-eaten. Keep going. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and you shall eat and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. And you have heaped treasure together for the last days. Are we in the last days?
Yes.
Keep going. Behold, the hire of the laborers who have reaped down your fields, which is of you kept back by fraud, crieth. Now stop right there. What is hire? Wages. Put it back up on the board, please. Wages. Okay? I want you to get this. Because he didn't say people are crying here. He said the money is crying. He said that you are keeping back by fraud what you should have paid them, and the money is crying to me for justice. And look what it says here. And he says this, crieth. And the cries, come on, of them, keep going, which have what? Reaped, are entered into the ears of the Lord of the what? Not Sabbath, Sabaoth. Sabaoth means the ruler of all. It has entered into the Lord of hosts, the ruler of everything. That Not only the money is crying to me, said the Lord, but the people have started crying to me, and I got to do something about this. Say amen, amen to that. So the Supreme Court of the universe now is about to make judgments based upon them that have been crying to him. And I'm saying this, that the devil has been the one that's been behind it. And we are bringing him to the court of the universe because he is the agent that is behind it. And God is going to repay his people their wages, and the workers that have been screaming out because the money is in the wrong hands and we've been jilted out of what belongs to us. Satan has used the body of Christ because many have been carnal. He had been using them to gather it up. No, he wouldn't kill them because he keeps them working and working for him and gathering up, but he's been stealing it. He's been stealing it through legislation. He's been stealing it through this. He's been stealing it through that. But we're waking up now and we're going into those systems of the world and we're going to demand and command the recompense to come into our hand, and we're going to take up from there and enforce this thing next week, because he said if the thief be found, over in Proverbs chapter 6, he said that he's going to have to repay seven times, and he shall give all the substance of his house. I'm telling you, if we can bind a strong man, we will spoil his house. And somebody say, well, why do you want to spoil his house? What are you going to get out of that? Well, this is what we're going to get out of it. We're going to build some schools with it. We're going to build some orphanages with it. We're going to reconstruct Haiti with it. We're going to go into some parts of Zimbabwe with it. We're going to go into the Amazon with it. We're going to go into places of Australia with it and help out some of those people. We're going to transfer this wealth into the hands of some people that can do good to this generation. We're going to represent the kingdom of God. We're going to take on all the responsibilities of rejuvenating this earth, and let the Lord be magnified, which has pleasure in the prosperity of his people. Give the Lord a prayer. Take a seat. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. This is a set time of the favor of the Lord. And I don't know whether you heard or not, but favor ain't fair. Favor ain't fair. Amen. You, like Esther, have been born for such a time as this. Redemption is not complete without divine restoration of the things that were lost. So we're in that number. I'm glad I'm born today. Born again, you know what I mean? Did you get something out of that today? Now next week, we're going to try to end this thing because we want to set in motion the words that will cause our recompense to come to us. Amen. You can study Luke chapter 18 where the woman said, avenge me of my adversary. The Bible said that would not the God of his elect avenge them when? Speedily. Speedily. I'm not talking about taking 3 years to settle a case. I'm not talking about 3 months to settle a case. I'm not talking about 3 weeks to settle a case. I'm talking about 3 hours. Praise God. Give the Lord a praise. Give him a praise. I believe he's pouring it out to you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, yeah. Now, if you're here, God has spoken to your heart about being born again. This is a special time. because this is what it's all about. The harvest is first for the harvest. We got to get people into the kingdom, because there's about 2.5 billion people out there that are not in the kingdom of God. We got to do something about that. So if you're here right now and you know that God has been speaking to your heart about being born again, that's where it all starts. Now, don't think you're born again just because you sit in church, because you can sit in a garage, but that doesn't make you a car. What you got to do is you got to be born again. Something inside of you has to change. So if you're here and God has spoken to your heart, I got good news for you. That's what this dance up here was all about.